15 seconds. That's all it took to raise a 16-story public housing high-rise in Philadelphia last weekend. Only an implosion, an uncommon but highly precise form of demolition, could take down a building so fast and provide such a visually stunning demise. But how does it all work? We asked Aaron Moselle to find out.
In just a matter of seconds on Saturday, Queen Lane Apartments vanished from the sky. A nearly 60-year stay in Germantown over in less time than it takes to wash and dry your hands. Neighbors cheered as a khaki-colored cloud of dust briefly billowed over the scene before revealing a four-story high pile of bricks and concrete. The short spectacle was, of course, carefully engineered. Jim Santoro with Controlled Demolition, Inc. is one of the guys who made sure all the right strings were pulled at the right time. He says the goal is to get a building to collapse into itself and almost entirely within its own footprint. If you've never seen an implosion, it looks like a building is melting to the ground.
We do not blow buildings up. What we do is use a very, very small quantity of explosives to disrupt a column's ability to support the building. If we remove those in a sequence and in a form marching back through the building, we can actually control the timing and the rate of failure and the direction of fall. Gravity does 99.9% of the work you see when you see the building coming down. It really had very little to do with the explosives when you see that building breaking up.
Before the demolition, a building must be completely gutted, but its bones are otherwise left intact. Nothing is pre-weakened before the implosion. Then, a day or two before the main event, Santoro's crew drills a series of holes into carefully selected columns throughout the building. Remember the old Roadrunner cartoons? Sticks of dynamite, similar to those red links Wile E. Coyote used, are then concealed inside the openings to sever specific columns. At Queen Lane, less than a pound of explosives were placed at each of the roughly 426 locations throughout the high-rise. That total was dictated by what else? Science.
You use a certain quantity of explosives in order to disrupt a certain quantity of concrete. We can go through and we can estimate how much we're going to use. Based on our experience and the rebar configuration in the building and the hardness of the concrete, we'll adjust that load either to make it a little bit heavier or a little bit lighter.
Most of the dynamite is loaded on the lower levels, especially the first floor. That's where the greatest amount of drop happens during an implosion. Once the foundation goes, gravity takes over and the rest follows. Also, the lower levels are detonated first so that there's a debris pile to cushion the tower's top floors when they fall toward the ground. Or put more simply, the bottom goes first, the top rides down over it. Jim Santoro says during an implosion, dynamite is detonated at split-second intervals thanks to a series of pre-programmed delays. Those more muffled booms you're hearing are columns being severed about a third to a half a second apart.
From one column to the next, the timing of the detonation is to allow for the building to start to fail and drop and allow the beam connection between columns to start tugging on the column behind it so that when it goes off, it keeps pulling the building in a continuous motion in the direction you want it to fail.
But there's another part of the equation that Santoro has to account for, the impact of all this debris hitting the ground.
Instead, it's coming down as hundreds of thousands or millions of small pieces of debris, each striking the ground at a different moment.
That means building implosions don't cause very much vibration. In most cases, not even enough to knock a secured picture off a wall. The process is so precise that only neighbors within a one-block radius of the tower had to evacuate their homes the day of the implosion.
Timing is everything, especially in the demolition game.
The science behind building implosions really started developing in earnest in the decades leading up to World War II, and really took off after it. Blasters started refining the technique while taking down bombed-out buildings in towns across Germany and England, buildings that had to be removed without compromising other structures. In this newsreel from the early 40s, blasters are shown imploding a four-story building in Prague.
But it's the birth of a brand new product, instant rubble.
Back then, there were two reasons to use explosives. One was you're blowing up a structure that you can't reach otherwise, that there's really no other way to do it. And the other is to bring down a large number of structures in a timely manner.
Brent Blanchard is Director of Operations for Protech, a South Jersey-based vibration consulting company. He's also one of the only people who has a working knowledge of structural demolition history.
It's just more expeditious to perform building implosions than it is to run around and piecemeal demolish hundreds of structures after World War II.
He says building implosions in the 40s and 50s were effective, but a bit clumsier than what's seen today.
You didn't have explosives placed in the same precise places that you do now. You also had different construction materials back then. You're blasting columns that were made of brick. I mean, there wasn't reinforced concrete back then. There were no steel beams in many cases back then. So you were more pulverizing and obliterating columns than you were trying to defeat a few columns to get a controlled collapse.
Over the next few decades, though, building implosions became more refined as commercial companies got into the blasting biz. Blanchard says the military made that private industry possible by showing city governments that building implosions could be done safely in tight quarters. That comfort level has grown still thanks to advances in technology.
Then you started to have a lot more control over what you're detonating and over how the structure reacts. So that was one of the main technologies that changed. Now there's non-electric technologies. Now there's wireless technologies. So now you don't even need to have wires running to the building. It's all remote control.
Still, these days, an implosion is not the only way to take down a tall building. Using a high reach, for example, a type of crane equipped with a pulverizing arm, a building can be safely deconstructed floor by floor. That, says Blanchard, means there are fewer implosions being done today than even a decade ago. But he says, don't expect to see the building implosion industry become rubble anytime soon. It'll always be the fastest and the most fun gun in the West. For The Pulse, I'm Aaron Moselle.